So, church, I'm grateful to reflect on this past year that saw changes for Alicia and myself. At the beginning of the year, I was serving as the student and worship pastor at First Baptist Holdenville. We navigated through final ball games, senior nights, baccalaureates, and graduations for our students before coming here to Northwest. Things have changed since I was here the first time back in 2020. And in the last 6 months, I've had the opportunity to step into this role as a worship pastor and to do what I absolutely love to do, and that's to serve with the saints and to worship the King. One of the most encouraging things as a worship pastor is the involvement of the church and our time together in corporate singing. I'm currently taking classes for my master's at Midwestern, known as the Singing Seminary. I believe Northwest is known for many things. We are mission-minded and gospel-driven. However, when I'm asked on how to describe Northwest, I simply say, Northwest is a singing church. As we sing together, we minister to one another, and whoever comes into the sanctuary hears it. We have a testimony this year of how the gospel was received through worship, and I believe that we see that idea play out in our lives daily. I'm reminded of a story of a wonderful Christian woman. Her name was Dorothy, and she passed away some years ago. Her family prepared a video of her life for the funeral service. At the end of the slideshow was a cell phone video from her hospital room. The camera moved from face to face around her bed as the family sang together. And finally, it focused on Dorothy. As she lay in her hospital bed, eyes closed, she was singing with her children and her grandchildren. And she was singing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be." I had to sing a little bit this morning, okay? These were some of Dorothy's last words. And the Christian life ends with faith as we walk with God through the valley of the shadow of death. But the Christian life is a life of faith from beginning to end. It comes with difficulty that can sometimes overwhelm us, but we always see God see us through. And I would challenge us for the upcoming year to recognize the beautiful opportunity that we have to sing our song through difficulty in the same way that Dorothy did. So as we open up our Bibles to Psalm 71, here is kind of our, if you're taking notes, our main takeaway. It won't be up in our slides, but if you want to write this down, our takeaway is, as God is our refuge, we are able to do ministry that outlives us, which is to proclaim him to the next generation. As God is our refuge, we are able to do ministry that outlives us, to proclaim him to the next generation. So again, Psalm 71, this particular song is a lament, a cry out to God from a man who has been through life. As we will find out by reading our text together, Psalm 71 covers every stage of the human life. We see who man who began, who is currently and wants to continue trusting in the Lord. It follows the structure that a lament normally goes through, which is praise to God, then you have the problem and the plea. A faithful thanksgiving of God's coming deliverance. So, as we dive into our text this morning, let's stand for the reading of God's word together. Now, there's 18 verses. We're only going to start with the first 8, then we can sit down. So Psalm 71, verse 1 to 8 says this. It says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And I have been important to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. You may be seated. Let me pray for us as we dive into this text. Father, my prayer this morning is simple. Let your words come through me. May you speak to us clearly and boldly so that we may respond in worship. Father, we love you. We thank you. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I think it's important for us to note right off the bat that as we start in this passage, the choir master shows us the importance of knowing and reciting God's word, because he actually takes the first three verses of Psalm 31, as we show it on the screen. It says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me." So he takes those first three verses and he applies it into his own song, into his own situation. I think this is something that is worthy of taking note of as we look for ways to pray and to sing. Scripture is a great source for us. And that takes us to our very first point this morning, and it is this. It says that we must remember that God has always been and will continue to be our refuge. So when I was in college at OBU in Shawnee, there was an annual event that was put on by one of the social clubs on campus. I think that still goes on today. It's called Humans versus Zombies, okay? What happens is that many students and professors basically compete against each other throughout, I think, a week. What happens is that there's one person who's chosen as the zombie. They wear their bandana on their head so that everyone sees them, while the other humans puts it on their arm. The zombie's job for the entire week is to attack people to turn them into zombies. Now, humans are not left defenseless. Each one of us had a Nerf gun that we would shoot the zombies when they caught us outside, and they would be paused for about 5 minutes for us to scurry away and get away, right? Now, when you're playing the game, sometimes you're outside, you get caught, you're running for your life, okay? However, when you go inside a building, whether it's the GC or Shawnee Hall or wherever, it's known as the safe zone, which means the zombie can go in there, but they can't tag you and get you. The catch is that eventually we got to eat, we got to go to class, got to go to bed. Eventually, that safe space is not a place that you can be at forever. So I've played this game several times, and I've been a getaway car for a particular professor on campus because Cody Tooley decided to be in his car with him and would not let him go. This game gets really competitive. The choir master is writing with a heart that understands that the Lord would never forsake him because his protection is not temporary. He calls out and says, "Never let me be put to shame." He is a refuge that he can return to because he's also his fortress, his safe space, his comfort. And that's the truth of the matter for us as well. And the writer is found in verse 5 and 6, is that he has seen God's faithfulness, God's hand in his life. Through the provisions of his life and his protection, he testifies to the Lord's faithfulness to him, even at the point of his birth. Job writes something very similar as well in chapter 10, verses 11 through 12, where he says, "You sewed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones. And you have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit." It's not different than us. And when the Lord formed you and me, he cared for us even when we were in our mother's womb. That life doesn't begin once we're born, but even when we are in the womb, the Lord cares for us. That is a human being. That is a human life. Because he cares as he forms you and protects you in the womb, even though you could not ask for that protection. He has walked with you through the difficulty of your life to bring you here this morning. So the question that I would ask you is that, can you recall the times in which you have experienced God's faithfulness as your refuge and fortress? Church, I experienced that when I was an 18-year-old college freshman who felt like that their lives was over and in shambles. I tried to pursue relationships, even services in the church, and I still felt empty. So when I went to OBU, that's where the Lord found me, and I cried out to him, and he actually brought me to Northwest in 2017. He guided me, and he walked with me as a first-time worship leader at Northwest in Espanol, who, at that point, I never sang more than maybe two times when I took that role. I can go on, and I'm pretty sure you can too. But we have to remember that this is the opening section of this song, because these next verses brings in the problem and the plea that the writer is bringing before the Lord. So let's continue to read in verse 9, and let's go to 13. It says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult me," or consult together and say, "God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is nothing to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt." Here we find our second point this morning, is that we must call out to God when weakness and fear threaten to consume us. Here we are at the root of the problem. First, he pleads for the Lord to not cast him out when he is old and when his strength is gone. We will talk about this in a second. What I want us to notice here is that even as he gets older and his strength may have begun to wane, one thing remains as you get older and it never seems to go away, and that is enemies. They continue. In this particular passage, it's not exactly clear on who the enemy is. It could be a foreigner. It could be someone who is an Israelite. The wording is general enough that it could be kind of referring to anyone. So what does this mean for us? How does this translate to us? It may be someone who is opposed to the gospel. And it might get tiresome to constantly hear the jeers as you try to live out your faith. It may be a fellow believer who just seems to not like you for whatever reason. You guys always just seem to be at odds. And they just seem to shut you down in the passion for Christ. It very well may be the devil who is trying to keep you on the sidelines by telling you that your time in ministry is just about over. The enemy could be anyone. For our students, for our older saints, there will be opposition to keep you from continuing in the faith, to discourage you. Man, we can't let the enemy win. Man, seek the Lord as your refuge and your fortress, because he is your source of strength. That we would trust the words of Christ when he says that he has overcome the world. If he can do that, man, he can help you endure whatever you're walking through right now and sustain you to the very end. Again, that is what the choir master is doing in this passage. The first section that we just read, verses 1 through 8, is him saying, God, I have seen you since birth of my protection over me. I've seen you work in my life and deliver me to this point right now. And then here in this section, verses 9 through 13, he is saying, God, I need you to do this again in this situation. I trust you. I believe in you. And I'm doing it now before it is too late and I've already fallen. As we get older, the words of the enemy tempts us more and more to believe his words over God's. So now I'm getting a little bit more specific to get back to the passage. To our older saints, I lead you to the words that is found in Isaiah 46. And this is for all of us as well, but I thought that this was pertinent to this section. It says this, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Into gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. When Alicia and I were in Holdenville, and we were in student ministry, we were blessed to have an amazing group of volunteers that would help us throughout the year. And we had volunteers of, it was vast. We had teachers who had watched students grow up before them to enter into the youth group. We had little league coaches who, again, have seen their kids grow up. And then we had people within the community who have stayed and stayed and stayed the entire time watching them grow. And then we had older volunteers that were about in their 60s and 70s. One of those volunteers, his name was Tom. There was one year he had been in our ministry for, at that time, about 3 years. He came to me and Alicia. And it's always weird when people decide to come and talk to you. I think we were in the middle of singing a song on a Wednesday night. And he comes up to us and be like, hey, I think my time is just about up. I'm like, Tom, we're singing a song. Let's talk about this later. So we talked later. It was me, him, and Alicia. And he says, well, I'm too old for student ministry. Like, I shouldn't even be up here anymore. They thought that they were too old to be in student ministry and that there was someone younger that could fill in the role and take in the place. I don't know if it was the enemy, his own headspace, maybe what he's seen around him, but you could argue that he was listening to those voices than rather what the reality of the situation was, which was Tom was the voice of the Wolverines. He called every football game, every basketball game, every baseball game, went to all the plays. He had a knack for being at two places at once. We had two schools, Holdenville and Moss. He seemed to be at the Holdenville game when we went. We took off and we left to try and go to a Moss game, and he was there. Regardless of his age, he loved students. And students loved him. It didn't matter how old he was. His impact and his love for students and for our town was unquestionable. Within that same light, Holdenville, Rob and Jordan can attest to this, there's not a lot of people our age in Holdenville. So when we had to do our versions of community groups, we had the 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds in our community group. And Alicia and I loved it. Why? It's because they taught me. They cared for us. They helped me to become a better husband, worshiper, pastor. And we're still blessed to call them our close friends even today. They still check on us. So, to the older saints that are in the room that may feel like your time is coming to an end, the Lord has work for you to do still, and you are vital to the church. And you can lean on the Lord to be your strength, sustainer, and deliverer from the enemy. So what is the task that's been given to you? Because it's changed. It's different. Or is it? No, the task that you have carried throughout your entire life remains the same. So let's go to verse 14, Psalm 71. It says, "But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come." Church, this is our final point for this morning. We must commit to faithfully proclaim the gospel to the next generation. We must faithfully commit to faithfully proclaim the gospel to the next generation. Church, this is our life in a simple phrase. To even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to the next generation, your powers to all those to come. Again, this is coming off the heels of the writer's request, stating the fact that he will hope continually and will praise the Lord still. He has seen the Lord's faithfulness in his life, and he will tell others of those stories that are too many to number. That is his task. That is his goal. That is his purpose. Until his time on earth is no more, he has a gospel to share. Church, the same is true for us. Until the Lord calls you home, we still have a gospel to share with those who do not know Jesus. John Piper wrote a letter to his church when he was 65 years old. And that usually seems like a good time for a pastor to retire, right? 65 is retirement age. This is what he wrote to his church and where he believed he was in his life. Piper's kind of out there sometimes in how he writes things, so I changed it up, took some things out. It's fine. This is what he says. He says, "Turning 65 in January has me all fired up to get busy. I'm close enough to the finish line that the face of Jesus is coming into sharper focus. This is very exciting and makes me want to pick up the pace. Of course, he's not least impressed with frenzy. What his face says to me is, I am your rest every day, and there is good work to do every day till you're home. So, all of you, head for the gym and get fit for the last lap. Fix your eyes on the face at the finish line. There will be plenty of R&R in the resurrection. For now, there is happy work to be done." This is Piper at 65. He currently is not serving as a pastor every single week, but he is still preaching. He's still sharing the joy of the gospel and the love of Christ wherever he goes. And he's past 65 now. So for us, it's the same. Even when we are gray-haired and our strength is waning, we still have a song to sing. So to every age group of the congregation, I'm getting to everyone, to the young people, junior high, high school, college, young adults, there is wisdom to be found in the words and lives of the older saints. Seek them out. Listen to their stories. But at the same time, you are called to proclaim the gospel as well to your friends and to your families. Start well. Don't get caught up in the world's advice to waste away your few years, your first few years of freedom, and do whatever you want. You will have people pushing you to neglect your faith and your purpose. Cling to the Lord as your refuge and fortress when things get hard, so that you won't be thrown off the course early, because you have work to do now. To the parents, you have a task that is not for the student minister or the leaders of the church. It is for you, because the next generation is in your home. Show them a love for God and a love for his church that sets them on the right path. Walk with them, teach them, sing with them, pray for them. It is a glorious task, and the Lord is with you in that endeavor, especially during those rebellious years. He's with you. And there are older saints that can attest to this as well. Seek them out. And to the older saints, the Lord is not through with you yet. The church and the lost need your wisdom and songs of God's faithfulness. And I am thankful for the stories that I have heard already in my brief time here at this church. As it's found itself in difficult situations, we have people who did leave, but we had people who stayed as well and endured and was here and now gets to see the church right here, right now. That is a beautiful, beautiful story. It encourages me as a minister of the gospel and challenges me to endure like you have. Though the roles may be different now, the task remains the same. So, as I close, as we head into the new year, we press on with the task that God has set before us, trusting him as our refuge from the enemy and our strength to proclaim him. To this time for us to be with him again. My question for you is, where do you find yourself? Do you remember the faithfulness of God's protection, provision in your life? And are you continuing to seek him as your place of refuge and strength? Or have you tried to trust in your own strength and your own abilities? Are you finally at a place now to where you can say that I've tried to trust myself and it's got me nowhere? And it's time to seek the Lord's mercy, his protection, and his provision. You may be here this morning visiting with us and you've realized that you've never sought after the Lord, but you need to today. Here in a couple minutes, we'll have that time for you to go and to talk to somebody. Man, what does that look like to trust the Lord as your refuge and as your fortress? Church, there are many glorious songs that we can sing that will outlast our lives, but fuel others. Which one will you be singing until the very end? I'm not going to sing this one. I'm just going to recite this one. Here's one of mine. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, strong defender of my weary heart, my sword to fight the cruel deceiver, and my shield against his hateful darts. My song when enemies surround me, my hope when tides of sorrows rise, for my joy when trials are abounding, your faithfulness, my refuge in the night. That is the God that we seek. and that we go to.